वंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
तपोवनं गते तस्मिन् प्रविष्टोऽन्तः पुरं मुनिः अर्हितार्हणको राज्ञः सुखासीन उवाच तम्। सो नारद मुनि वेंट टू उत्तानपाद वेन ध्रुव महाराज वेंट टू मधुवन राइट जस्ट ही वांटेड टू अंडरस्टैंड द सिचुएशन ऑफ उत्तानपाद इन द पैलेस। नारद मुनि आस्क्ड हिम राजन किं ध्यायसे दीर्घम मुखेन परिशुष्यत किं वा नरिष्यते कामो धर्मो वार्थेन संयुतः। राजन किं ध्यायसे दीर्घम वो राजा वो उत्तानपाद ध्यायसे दीर्घम व्हाट आर यू मेडिटेटिंग ऑन। दीर्घम मीन्स वेरी डीपली। मुखेन परिशुष्यत योर फेस अपीयर्स वेरी विदर्ड वेरी पेल फेस व्हाट आर यू थिंकिंग अबाउट। किं वा न रिष्यते कामो धर्मो वा अर्थेन संयुतः योर धर्म अर्थ काम दीज थ्री थिंग्स आर हैपनिंग प्रॉपरली और नॉट हैव यू बीन हैम्पर्ड बाय एनीवन और एनीथिंग इन द एग्जीक्यूशन ऑफ दिस धर्म अर्थ काम। ही डिड नॉट आस्क अबाउट मोक्ष because someone who is so engrossed in political responsibilities he doesn't have so much time to think about moksha. If you can manage his dharma artha kama sufficient. So Narada Muni did not even ask that question only out of syllabus for Uttanapada at this stage 65th verse Uttanapada is responding sutome balako brahman straineena karunatmanam निर्वासितः पञ्चवर्षः सहमात्रा महान् कविः। उत्तानपाद स्पोक वेरी रिग्रेटफुली सुतो मे बालको ब्रह्मन् ओ ब्राह्मण मै सुता मै सन् बालक वेरी स्मॉल बॉय स्त्रैणेन अकुरणात्मन स्त्रैणेन मीन्स आई हैव बीन हैंडपेक्ड बाय ए वुमन दैट इज Suruchi. I have become a puppet in the hands of Suruchi and I have neglected my son. Akarunatmana, I have mercilessly banished my son Dhruva. Nirvasitaha, nirvasitaha. So vasa means a residence. Nirvasa means no residence. I have made him practically residenceless, although he is panchavarsha, just 5-year-old boy. Saha Matra, I have made his mother also practically residenceless. Mahan Kavihi, Mahan Kavi means he is a very great personality. This Dhruva is considered a very great personality here. So I have not protected him, he is a great soul. Uttanapada is repenting now. Now, morning we discussed that one should be able to act appropriately at the spur of the moment. That is the first best thing. But if he could not manage to do that first best thing, he should do at least the second best thing. What is that? Honestly regret for his mistake. If one could not give an ideal response at that moment, at least regret, honestly repent for what he has done. Don't justify. First, he doesn't behave properly. Second, he justifies his behavior also. That's too horrible, right? Uttanapada did a mistake, but later he is regretting for it. He realizes his mistake. It is my mistake. I have become akuruna, merciless. I have become henpegged, strainena. So since the king was very much addicted to his wife, he had lost all mercy. That is the result of becoming too affectionate towards opposite sex. So king was repenting that Dhruva Maharaj was in forest neglected by him and his mother Suniti was in palace neglected by him. So both of them are experiencing neglect only from the king and his repentful, regretful for it. So, according to Manu Smriti, one should not desert one's wife and children. A responsible husband should not do that. Ramachandra, to retrieve his one wife Sita Devi, he did a big war. Right? So, in the fifth canto, there is one wonderful description about Ramachandra's retrieving Mother Sita. A religious, a husband who is rooted in his dharma, he is supposed to protect his chaste wife at any cost. If the wife is chaste and devoted, husband should go to any extent to protect her. That's what Lord Ramachandra did. That is his message to dharmic people. So Uttanapada, although this Sunidhi is very chaste, very devoted, still he neglected only. He could not protect. He neglected her and he had neglected her son also. He is now repenting for it. In a way, in a case where wife and children are disobedient and do not follow the principles of household life, then sometimes they may be given up. But Dhruva is a well-behaved child and Sunidhi is a very glorious lady, very devotee. But why he gave up? For example, in Prabhupada's case, he had to give up home. So that description comes because she chose tea. So Dhruva Maharaj was mannerly and obedient and a great devotee. So mistake is a mistake only if we justify that mistake, not realizing that it is a mistake. But here Dhruva Maharaj, Uttanapada, although he did a mistake, but he had the good fortune of coming out of the effects of that mistake because he is honestly regretting for it and expressing that I have done a mistake in front of a great soul like Narada Muni. Actually, Uttanapada didn't mean to hurt Dhruva, but he could not act at the right moment properly. It's little late. He realized, but by the time Dhruva Maharaj already left palace. Sometimes we may realize that we have done a mistake, but by the time we realize, the time for rectification might have passed already. You cannot undo. Once you press Ctrl S, you can't press Ctrl Z. Right? Undoing is not very easy sometimes. So by the time he realized, Dhruva Maharaj already is out of the palace. Like that. Sometimes it may be possible. 66th verse. Apyanatham vane brahman masmadantyarbhakam rukaha shrantam shayanam kshuditam parimlanamukham bhujam. So he is thinking about the precarious condition that his son might undergo in the forest. He is unprotected, he may be very hungry, and he might have laid down somewhere in the forest. Shrantam shayanam kshuditam, kshuditam, hungry. Shayanam is sleeping anywhere and everywhere, he doesn't have a proper bed also. Parimlanam khambujam, and probably some wild animals like wolves or tigers, they must have attacked him also, they must have eaten him up also. He is regretting like this. I am so hard-hearted. Ahomaya bata dauratmyam stri jitasya jitasyopadharaya yonkam premnanu rukshantam nabhyandatam asattamaha. He is chastising himself. He is repenting so much. He says, I have become so cruel. Ahomaya bata dauratmyam, dauratmya, my Atma has become so degraded, I have become so cruel, merciless. Why? Strijatasya upadharaya. This is because of being conquered by a stri, by my wife Suruchi. Because I have become a puppet in her hands, I have become so merciless towards my son. Yo ankam premna arurukshantam, with great prema, with love and affection, my son is trying to climb on my lap. Ankam arurukshantam. Nabhyanandan, I did not welcome him. Asattamaha, I am most vile, most wicked. Asat means a bad person. Asattamaha means best of all bad persons. Right? It means most degraded of all bad people. And he is considering himself like that. I have become so hard-hearted. Now Narada Muni is responding. మామా శుచిహి స్వతనయం దేవగుప్తం విశాంపతే తత్ప్రభావం అవిజ్ఞాయ ప్రావృంతే యజ్ఞో జగత్ మా శుచః స్వతనయం. ఓ మై డియర్ తన పదం మా శుచః, కృష్ణ సేస్ మా శుచః, అహం తాం సర్వపాపేభ్యో మోక్షయిష్యామి మా శుచః, డోంట్ వరీ. హియర్ హీ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో సేయింగ్, నారదము ఈజ్ ఆల్సో టెలింగ్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్, మా శుచః, డోంట్ వరీ మై డియర్ ఉత్తానపాద్. స్వతనయం దేవగుప్తం విశాంపతే, యువర్ సన్ ఈజ్ వెల్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ బై ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, డోంట్ బి అగ్రీవ్డ్. తత్ ప్రభావం అవిజ్ఞాయ ప్రవృంతే యజ్ఞ శో జగత్. సో యాజ్ ఆఫ్ నౌ ద ప్రభావ, ది ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ సన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇట్, బట్ వెరీ సూన్ ఇట్ విల్ మేనిఫెస్ట్. హిస్ గ్లోరీ విల్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ అండ్ హీ విల్ ఇంక్రీజ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీ ఆల్సో. హూ ఈస్ దిస్ ధ్రువ సన్ ఆఫ్ ఉత్తానపాద్? లైక్ దట్ హీ విల్ ఇంక్రీజ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీ. పీపుల్ విల్ నో యూ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్, డోంట్ వరీ, హీ విల్ బికమ్ వెరీ సక్సెస్ఫుల్. ఎ సరెండర్డ్ సోల్ ఈజ్ నెవర్ అన్ప్రొటెక్టెడ్. How can one live in forest and not be taken care of by anyone? Now, logically speaking, a 5-year-old child, inexperienced boy, went into the jungle where so many cruel animals may be there. He has no one to take care of him. But how will he survive? He will survive because he surrendered unto Krishna. That's the only way of survival. Otherwise, ordinarily speaking, there is no possibility of such a person's survival, such a boy's survival. That is sharanagati, surrender. Acceptance or firm belief that wherever the surrendered soul lives, he is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never alone or unprotected. So anyone who engages in bhakti anywhere within this universe is never unprotected. Prabhupada repeatedly says this. For example, Prabhupada, he may not be in the forest, but he is in the wilderness of Delhi or New York. He read Prabhupada's Leelamrit, first volume, how he had struggled so much in Delhi alone. He would walk so much to go to the press. He doesn't even take breakfast. Somehow the printing press owner arranges breakfast for him. And he writes the article, does the typesetting, whatever, gets it for print, takes it for print, does the proofreading, and again any corrections are there, he will print and then he will sell also, he will do distribution also. And once, because of sunstroke or whatever, he just faints on the road, someone will come to his rescue. So like that, Prabhupada was practically alone, although in the city, it's as good as a forest, but still because of his determination in devotional service, Krishna is always protecting him. On the sea, there is heart attack, and in New York there is no one, right? Still he is protected. So the Supreme Lord saved Prahlad Maharaj in every difficulty. So if one works on his consciousness, Lord can take care of the body. So Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness he was taking care, his body Krishna is taking care, right? Hiranyakashipu tried to attack the body of Prahlad Maharaj in various ways. Prahlad did not worry about that at all. He is always protected by the Lord because he is so absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna. So often one may try to adjust the external situations and circumstances and fail to focus on internal consciousness. But it should be the other way around. Focus on the internal consciousness. And as much as humanly possible, try to adjust the external situation, then Krishna's mercy will do the needful. So, Prabhupada was focused on his mission. 69th verse. Sudushkaram karma kritva lokapalairapi prabhuh aishyatyar achirate rajan yasho avipulayam stavam. Sudushkaram karma kritva. Dushkara means very difficult task. Sudushkaram karma means most difficult. What is that most difficult activity that Dhruva Maharaj is doing here? To please and to satisfy Krishna. Satisfying Krishna is not a small thing. satisfying Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult. Lokapalayarapi Prabho. It is very difficult even for great rulers of the universe, all the demigods also. But your son, at the age of 5, will do this, will accomplish this task. And then, Yesho Vipalayam Stava, and he will increase your glories. You will become famous because of your son. Uttanapaji is the father of Dhruva, that's how you will become famous. So, Dhruva Maharaj is addressed here as Prabho, Lokapalai Rapi Prabho. Prabhu is the word applicable to the Supreme Lord, but a devotee of the Lord also may be called Prabhu. So, and a guru or a very advanced devotee may be called Prabhupad, because he has accepted the path, the lotus feet of Prabhu. So every devotee should be determined that in this life he will be able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by that process go back to Godhead. That is the perfection of the mission of human life. Determination. To be determined and maintain enthusiasm when situations are favorable and people are cooperative is quite possible. But when people are not cooperative and the situations are not favorable, still you maintain your enthusiasm and determination, that's something worth applauding. Right? So, next. After consoling Uttanapada like this, Narada Muni leaves. Iti devarshina proktam vishrutya jagati patihim Rajalakshmim anadrityam putram evanva chintayan. So after Narada Muni left, Uttanapada just started thinking about his son only, Dhruva Maharaj. And he was hopeful that he may come back, because Narada Muni predicted. And he was also anxious about his welfare. And he is always thinking about his son Dhruva. Now, camera goes to Madhuvan. Let's see what Dhruva Maharaj is doing there. 71st verse. Tatrabhishitaha prayataham. Tatrabhishitaha prayatas. Tamuposhya vibhavarim. Samahitaha paryacharad. Rishyadeshena purushum. So elsewhere Dhruva Maharaj in Madhuvan took bath in Yamuna river and offered fasting, observed fasting in the night with great care and attention. After that, as advised by Narada Muni, he started worshipping Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj was very sincere in executing the orders of his spiritual master. If we want to be successful in our attempt to go back to Godhead, we must very seriously act according to the instructions of the spiritual master. That is the only way of perfection. Prabhupada says here, quoting Vishnachakurti Thakur, sincere execution of spiritual master's instructions. Our only concern should be how to execute the order of spiritual master. And a spiritual master is expert in giving special instructions to each of his disciples. If the disciple executes spiritual master's order, that is the way of his perfection. So, how is he executing? From 72nd verse onwards we will see. First month. So, we will not read these translations. Read these verses. Okay, we will read. Triratrante, triratrante. Kapitha badarashana. Atmavrityanusharena. Masam ninye archayandharim. So in the first month, Dhruva Maharaj took only fruits, kapitta fruits and berries, not very palatable fruits. Right? Kapitta fruits and some other berries, that too once in 3 days only. So Prabhupada writes here that one should accept food not for sense gratification, just to maintain one's body and soul together. This kapitta word does not have an English equivalent. What is this kapitta fruit called in English? We don't know. So Dhruva Maharaj accepted such fruits, not for luxurious feasting, but just to keep the body and soul together. Body needs food, but a devotee should accept that food to satisfy, not to satisfy the tongue. However, to become a bona fide devotee is not an easy task, but in this age, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy made it easy. How? If you do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how can we accept to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? So Mahaprabhu said, we can feast, take prasadam. Mahaprabhu would fill the bellies of his devotees as much as they can eat, five times they can eat. Right? So Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many episodes of prasadam serving, where Mahaprabhu remembers the favorite items of all the devotees and makes the servers feed them like that. Right? Five times more than they can eat, up to their necks, like that. And then there is heavy Sankirtan and Krishna Katha. Digestion plan is also ready. It is not possible in this age to follow Guru Maharaj in his austerity. We can't survive by eating Kapitta fruits once in 3 days. But the principles must be followed. So, it is our duty to follow the footsteps of Guru Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job, like the Prabhupada says. That is about first month. In the second month, as mentioned in 73rd verse, Guru Maharaj was eating only dry grass and leaves once in 6 days. In the third month, he was drinking only water once in 9 days. In the fourth month, he is breathing, he is accepting air once in 12 days. The magnitude of his austerities increased month by month. In the fifth month, he started standing on one leg. 76th verse says that he had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on only one leg, just as a column stands without any motion, pillar, and concentrate his mind fully on the Lord. 77th verse. Sarvatomana akrishyam hridi bhutendriyashayam dhyayan bhagavato rupam nadrakshit kinchana param. So Guru Maharaj completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without deviation, diversion to anything else, upon Krishna's form. The form that he described, Narada Muni described, Tarunam Ramaniyangam Arunoshtekshanadharam Pranatashrayam Ramnam Sharanyam Karunaranam. So like that, there are so many features of that form. So Guru Maharaj was focusing on that form only. So then what is the effect of those austerities? So his austerities are described for 4 months, and in the fifth month he stood motionless like a pillar and he was meditating on the Lord only without diversion. So the effect of this meditation on the three worlds is described in the 78th verse. Adharam adadinam pradhana purusheswaram brahmadharayavanasyam trayolokascha kampine. So Guru Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart, who is the refuge of total material creation. Adharam mahadadinam. He is the adhara, he is the basis of the refuge of entire material creation. Pradhana purusheswaram. So brahma dharaya manasya. So he has, Guru Maharaj took that Supreme Lord within his heart completely. And three worlds began to tremble. So how did, and Guru Maharaj became very heavy. That small painting comes, Guru Maharaj is on a globe and is trying to press the globe with his toe, like that. So how did he become so heavy? Because Guru Maharaj could capture the entire Brahman within his heart. So since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, he is the Supreme Brahman. Since the Supreme Brahman was situated in Dhruva's heart, he became heavier than the heaviest, and therefore everything trembled in the three worlds and in the spiritual world. So a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. This 5-year-old boy is creating so much of astonishment for great demigods also. Yoginam api sarvesham adgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samaya yuktatamo mataha. Of all the yogis, that yogi who can always carry the Supreme Lord within his heart is the best yogi. Dhruva Maharaj has become the best yogi. And the result of his yoga trembled the universe because he has captured the Lord within his heart, and there is an imbalance in the earth. 79th verse. Yadeka pahadena saparthivarbhaka tasthau yadang tadangushta nipida mahi nipidita mahi nanama tatra ardhami ibhendra dhishtita tariva savye ratah pade pade taratah pade pade. So Dhruva Maharaj kept himself steadily standing on one leg. The pressure of his big toe pushed down half the earth. Just as an elephant being carried on a boat rocks the boat left and right with his every step. So how is it possible? How can this small boy push the whole earth with his toe? It's little astonishing and surprising. So Prabhupada writes, gives two reasons. Number one, he gives a logic called Nagna Matrika logic. He says a small baby girl, she may not wear clothes and then she may be crawling like this. But when she is grown up and becomes the mother of few children, you cannot expect her to be in that condition. Right? Similarly, a small boy or a neophyte sadhaka may appear very innocent and simple and not so advanced in the beginning. But when one becomes very advanced, you cannot expect him like that. The naked pencho story is there, right? You know, naked pencho. Although he has become a judge of the Supreme Court, some of the villagers were thinking that, hey, he may become judge, but he may not be getting salary. So like that, different people have different conceptions. So people cannot accept a person doing such great wonders because they have seen his previous days. Hey, this fellow, I know what he does. No, he has grown up. You don't understand that. So Dhruva Maharaj also like that. So because of his great devotional meditation and advancement and determination in his practice according to the instructions of spiritual master, he developed that great ability to even tremble the universe also. Take it from this way. So one may have acted in a neophyte way in the beginning, but later he may create wonders. Hiranyakashipu was wondering, how could this little boy Prahlad Maharaj protect himself from all the attacks that I am making upon him? Right? He was also wondering. So one may have acted in a neophyte way in the beginning, but it is not appropriate to carry that impression forever throughout the life. He will be matured over a period of time. I think last year we were discussing this example of Kashyapa. Kashyapa Muni in 3rd canto 14th chapter, when Diti approached him, he just gave in and entertained her. Because of that, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. But when that same Diti approached Kashyapa Muni in the 6th canto 18th chapter to get a son who can kill Indra, so Kashyapa Muni did not entertain her. He tricked her. He said, okay, she served me so nicely with this kind of malicious desire, so let me trick her. So he gave her 1 year vrata. You should do this Pumsavana vrata, you should do it properly, then you will get a son who can kill Indra. But if there is even a slight deviation in your vrata, then you will get a son who can become friend of Indra. Basically, that 1 year vrata is worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipping Lakshmi Narayana. Because of that worship, there is a transformation in her heart, and eventually she gave up envy towards Indra. And there is a transformation in Indra's heart also. He also gave up his attempt to harm Diti, and her sons 49 Marus became demigods. Like that. So there is a transformation in Kashyapa from 3rd canto to 6th canto. So like that, the whole process will work. One should allow oneself to be exposed to the process. One should allow the process to operate on him. For example, somebody has a surgery. So I had a surgery last year. So in surgery, you don't give your preferences to the doctors or surgeons or nurses. You just surrender, complete surrender. I have surrendered my body to you, do whatever you want, right? So they can give anesthesia, they can just pierce your hands or anywhere, they can cut anywhere, they can do anything, just complete surrender is needed. So a sadhaka should allow the process to work on him. It's not that a practitioner is using the process to advance or achieve something. He is just allowing the process to operate on him. Surrender to the process of bhakti. Allow the bhakti to operate you and then remove whatever is contamination in you, like that. So one should approach the process with utmost sincerity and allow the process to work on him. And when one is observing another person practicing that process, you should acknowledge that, oh, he is sticking to this right process. He will certainly advance over a period of time. If you don't acknowledge the advancement of another devotee, we are only minimizing the glory of the process of bhakti. Right? So, bhakti is effective. To the extent one is sincere, to that extent that process will work on him. Like that. So, Prabhupada gives this Nagnamatrika logic and says that Dhruva Maharaj, although he is a mere boy who just reacted to stepmother's chastisement 6 months back, now he has the ability to tremble the earth also. Earlier, he does not have the ability to sit on his father's lap. Now, he is making all the great, great demigods and rulers of the universes wonder and astonish and get surprised and bewildered at his austerities. And they go to the Supreme Lord to beg shelter. What's happening here? You are getting suffocated. Do something. Like that. Next, he gives another example. In the next purport, we will discuss that. Tasmin avidhyaya yati. Tasmin avidhyaya yati vishwamatmano. Dvaram nirudhya sumananya yadhiya. Ye lokani ruchus lokani ruchvasa nipida ta bhushan saloka pala sharanam yayuharim. Read the translation.
And Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in humanness with the Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universe breathing became choked up, and all the great demigods in all the planetary system fell suffocated and thus took the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Here, little more technically it is mentioned, because he is holding the Lord within his heart, the total heaviness of the universe is assumed by his little body. So Prabhupada gives an example to understand this. It's a bit little difficult to understand, but still. There may be hundreds of people sitting in an airplane. These people may remain as individual units. So there may be some 300 seats or whatever in a bigger airplane. So the airplane may be going at a rate of thousands of miles per hour speed. This individual person sitting inside the airplane, ordinarily he may not be able to move so fast. But because he is sitting inside the airplane's speed is assumed by his body. He is also moving at 100,000 kilometers per hour. Right? He is also at an altitude. Why? Because he has taken shelter of the airplane. Inside the airplane, he may want to go to the washroom or whatever, inside that he may want to travel. He can just walk at his own pace only. But still, while doing that also, he is moving at a pace of 1000 kilometers per hour or thousands of kilometers per hour. So why? Because he is inside the airplane. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj himself is not so heavy. But because he has accepted the Supreme Lord within his heart, so that Lord's heaviness, Lord's greatness is has manifested in his body, and he is able to tremble the universe. He is holding the Lord within his heart. Lord is heavier than the heaviest. His body also has become heavy. Dhruva's body has become heavy, and because of that he is controlling his breath. So the universe is getting suffocated. He's the last one. He was taking only once breathing once in 12 days, right? So now he is controlling his breathing. Universe is getting suffocated because of that. So because of his concentration on the Lord, he has become the total heaviness of the Lord, and he could push down the earth also. Moreover, by his spiritual power, his unit body became the total body of the universe. Thus, when he closed the holes of his unit body to firmly concentrate on the Lord, all the other units of the universe, living entities and demigods, they become suffocated. Right? He is closing his body and the universe is getting suffocated. Like that. That is a devotee's power. Prabhupada says, a preacher's power is like this. A devotee by his personal devotional service can influence all the people of the whole world to become devotees. If there is only one pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. So Dhruva Maharaj did it physically by suffocating the universe. Similarly, on a spiritual plane, someone who has a lot of devotion for Krishna, he can inspire devotion in millions of people, and the whole world can be transformed into Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada is the best example for it. So you can draw so many parallels between Prabhupada and Dhruva Maharaj in determination and in astonishing the whole world by his wonderful activities. One old man went to the West and created a worldwide spiritual movement. One small boy went to the forest and suffocated the entire universe. Right? One small boy, despite all odds in life and obstacles, his determination in devotional service did not slacken. One old man, although so many obstacles came, although there were so many failures over 4 decades of his attempts, still his determination to preach in English and establish a worldwide movement in English did not slacken. Like that. Last verse, last but one verse. All the demigods went to Krishna, went to Vishnu and told him, Naivam vidamo bhagavan pranarodham characharasya akhila satta dhamnaham videhi tanno vrijina vimoksham prapta vayam tvam sharanam sharanyam. Read the translation.
The demigod said, Dear Lord, you are the refuge of all moving and non-moving entities. We feel all moving entities to be suffocating, their breathing process choked up. We have never experienced such a thing. Since you are the ultimate shelter of all the surrendered souls, we have therefore approached you, kindly save us from this danger.
So they are requesting the Lord to save him from this danger. Devotees have no problems in the material world because they are fully surrendered. For a devotee, everything in the world is very pleasing because he knows how to use everything in the Lord's service. Vishvam purana sukhayate vidhimahendradischa kitayate. Prabhupada is basically quoting that only. Last verse. Sri Bhagavan uvacha ma bhaishta balam tapaso duratyayam nivartayishye pratiyata svadhamam yato hiva prana nirodha asid auktana padir mai sangatatma.
The Supreme Personality of God had replied, My dear demigods, do not be perturbed by this. It is due to the severe austerity and full determination of the son of the King Uttanapad, who is now fully absorbed in thought of me. He has obstructed the universal breathing process. You can safely return to your respective homes. I shall stop this boy in his severe acts of austerities, and you will be saved from this situation."
So when the Lord was approached by the demigods, he gave a very reassuring promise that, "Don't worry, this is all because of the austerities of my dear devotee Uttanapada, son of Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, this boy Dhruva. So because of his deep meditation upon my form, he has become so heavy and he is suffocating the universe. I'll do the needful, you don't worry, you just go." So he just reassured the demigods. So thus ends that chapter. We will begin the next chapter now. So after saying this, the Lord goes to Dhruva Maharaj. Maitreya uvacha
ta evam utsanna
bhaya urukrame krutvava namah prayayustri vishtapam sahasrasirshapitato garutmatam madhorvanam hrityadi drukshayagata.
The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, "When the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears, and after offering their obeisances, they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is not different from the Sahasra or Shirsa incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva."
So demigods went, and the Lord started for Madhuvan on the back of Garuda. So in all Dhruva Maharaj's paintings, you will see Garuda also next to the Lord. So Garuda carried him to Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. So Dhruva Maharaj was so far seeing the Lord in his meditation. Now, when the Lord is personally coming in front of him, Dhruva Maharaj cannot see the Lord in his meditation anymore. He will see live. That we will see in the second verse. Savai dhiya yoga vipaka tivraya hrutpadma koshe sphuritam tadiprabham tirohitam sahasaivo palakshya bahisthitam tad avastham dadarsham.
The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning and in which Dhruva Maharaj in his mature yogic process was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus Dhruva was perturbed and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart.
Savai dhiya yoga vipaka tivraya. His concentration, his mind was completely absorbed in the form of Vishnu, upon whom he is meditating within his heart. Hrit padma koshe sphuritam tadit prabham. Hrit padma, on the lotus of his heart, the Lord was standing and he was able to see him very clearly. Right? He was meditating on all those features. But suddenly, that form is lost. So he could not see the Lord. So he was very perturbed. Similar experience was there in the case of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni was also meditating. Dhyana vastita dhyayataha charanam bhojam bhava nirjita chetasam. So with great bhava, with great feelings and emotions, Narada Muni was meditating on the beautiful form of Vishnu within his heart. Suddenly that form got disappeared, and at least Dhruva Maharaj got the darshan of the Lord after he opened his eyes. Narada Muni, he opened his eyes, he no darshan, and there was only voice. The voice said, "No more darshans in this life." So because you are not completely freed from material taints, I will not give you darshans anymore. See you in next life. Like that he says. Your prema is in infancy. I want your infant prema to become youthful prema. Till then, no more darshans. Like that he said. But Narada Muni's disciple Dhruva Maharaj, within 6 months, he could see the Lord within his hat, and after he opened his eyes, he could see the Lord in front of him also. So appearing in front of the eyes means seeing the Lord with our eyes is considered more advanced than seeing the Lord within the heart. You remember Damodarashtakam? Damodarashtakam, what does he say? Varan vibhop varam deva moksham na mokshavadhimva nachanyam vruneha vareshadapiha idam teva purnatha gopala balam sada me manasyavirastam kimanyuhi. This beautiful form of Bala Gopal, may this form be manifest within my heart always. Sada me manasyavirastam kimanyehi. Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta neelair vritam kuntalai snigdharaktaischa gopya muhaschambitam bimbaraktadharami manasyavirastam kimalam lakshalabhai. Alam lakshalabhai. So again in the fifth verse, fourth verse he desired that Gopala Bala form within his heart. In the fifth verse he again repeats that. He describes the beautiful features of Lord Damodar, how Mother Yashoda always kisses that beautiful form, how it is very nicely encircled with so many locks of hair. So like that he describes that form, and again he says, expresses the same desire. May that beautiful form of Bala Gopal be manifest in my heart. But in the sixth verse his desire changes.
Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnum Kripa Drishti Vrishtya Tidinam Datanu Gruhanesha Vamagnam Edyakshi Drishti Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Akshi Drishti. He adds Akshi Drishti means may your form be visible to my eyes. Earlier he said Manasyavi Rastam, now he says Akshidrishyehi. Means to be able to see the form of Krishna with eyes is considered little more advanced and higher privilege than to be able to see him within his heart. Right? So gopis were seeing the form of Krishna within their hearts so much, but when they are able to see the Lord's form directly in front of their eyes, they are more ecstatic. Like that. So Lord was merciful to Dhruva Maharaj by manifesting his form within his heart. Now Lord has become more merciful to Dhruva Maharaj by manifesting that same form in front of his eyes. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj immediately, he initially lamented for losing that form within his heart, but later he rejoiced to see that form in front of his eyes. Like that. So Lord may withdraw one blessing that we may have to give a higher blessing. He may take away one material facility to give a better spiritual facility. One should not regret. One should depend on Krishna's mercy, the way he handles situations, the way he orchestrates situations in one's life. So because of maturity in yoga, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Someone whose eyes are tainted with love of Godhead, Lord is always manifest to them within their hearts and sometimes in front of their eyes also. Like that. Shama Sundara in the heart. It's not imaginary. When a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees the face, face to face, the same Shama Sundara he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. Next, third verse. What was the reaction of Dhruva Maharaj? He was a bit confused. Suddenly, you see Krishna's form, it's like really surprising.
Tad-darshanena gata-sadha-sakshitav avandatangam vinamaya dandavat dribhyam prapashyan prapiban ivarbhakaha ಬಿಂಬನ್ ಇವಾಶ್ಯೇನ ಭುಜೈರ್ ಇವಾಶ್ಲಿಷನ್.
ಸೊ ತದ್ದರ್ಶನ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಆಗದ ಸಾಧಸಃ ಕ್ಷಿತಾವ್. ಸೊ ದ್ರೋಮಾರಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಷಿತಾವ್ ಹಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಫೆಲ್ ಫ್ಲಾಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಅವಂದತ ಅಂಗಂ ವಿನಮಯ್ಯ ದಂಡವತ್, ಹಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರೊಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ಯು ಸಿ ದ ಪೇಂಟಿಂಗ್, ದ್ರೋಮಾರಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಾಲಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ಲಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು. Right, Vinamaya Dandavat, like a rod, he just fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Vishnu. Then, Vinamaya Dandavat Dorbhyam Drubhyam Prapashyam. So what was his response? Let's see. Dorbhyam Drubhyam Prapashyam Prapiban Iva. It appeared as if he is drinking the sweetness of the Lord with his eyes. Next. ಚುಂಬಂ ಇವ ಆಸ್ಯೇನ, ಇಟ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಫ್ ದ್ರೋಮಾರಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಿಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮೌತ್. ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್, ಭುಜೈಹಿ ಇವ ಆಶ್ಲಿಷನ್, ಇಟ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಫ್ ದ್ರೋಮಾರಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಆರ್ಮ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಇವ 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 ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಇವ ಕಮ್ಸ್. ರೈಟ್, ದ್ರೋಭ್ಯಾಂ ಪ್ರಪಶ್ಯನ್ ಪ್ರತಿಬನ್ ಇವಾರ್ಭಕ ಚುಂಬನ್ ಇವಾಶ್ಯೇನ ಭುಜೈರ್ ಇವಾಶ್ಲಿಷನ್. So he's just standing there only, but within his heart only, with his internal eyes, he's drinking his beauty. With his internal arms, he's embracing his body. With his internal mouth, he's kissing his lotus feet. So like that, Dhrumaraj was experiencing. So all these features indicate that Dhrumaraj has developed this Ashtasatvakakar, eight kinds of transcendental ecstasy in the body. So that is a sign of his great fortune. He has developed so much of affection and love for Krishna that he is experiencing all this even at such an age. Without so much of knowledge or Shastric study or anything like that. Because he is just a 5-year-old boy. He just came out of the palace. Now he's been told how to meditate and describe the form of the Lord. And he is following that process only, very sincerely. But the effect of studying all the Vedic literatures and the whole conclusions of Vedas and other scriptures was revealed to him just after 2-3 verses. Right? So devotee's love for Supreme Personality of Godhead is so intense that he wants to kiss the lotus feet constantly. He wants to touch the tips of the toes of the Lord and constantly embrace his lotus feet. All these features indicate Dhruva has developed these eight kinds of transcendental ecstasies. So the intensity of his emotions are observed through the looks of Dhruva Maharaj. Right? The facial expressions also, they were indicating. Satam vivakshantam atadvibam harir gnatvasya sarvasya chahridya vasthitaham ಕೃತಾಂಜಲಿಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಮಯೇನ ಕಂಭುನಾ ಪಸ್ಪರ್ಶ ಬಾಲಂ ಕೃಪಯಾ ಕಪೋಲೇ. ಸೊ ದ್ರೋಣಾರಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಬಾಯ್. ಹಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಆಫರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ ವರ್ಪೂಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಮೋಷನ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಸಂಟ್ ನೋ ಹೌ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸ್ ದಮ್. So expression needs an expertise and language. But emotion needs some innocence and love and affection. Many people are very advanced internally, but they may not be able to express it. Right? Their internal deep love and affection for Krishna, they may not be so expressive about it. Right? But that doesn't mean they don't have it. No, Dhrumaras at this stage, he doesn't have the bandwidth to express it because he's an inexperienced boy, small boy, 5-year-old boy. He doesn't have the necessary vocabulary to describe the Lord. Although he's experiencing so much of bliss of seeing that form, he's unable to put it in words. Right? Some people may put very eloquently in words without any feelings in the heart. Right? All the professional artists, the drama people or movie people, they may just express so much of devotion on the screen. Off the screen they may do all nonsense also. But devotees may not express so much, but internally they are experiencing so much of emotions towards the Lord. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj's case is like this here, that he is experiencing so much of affection and devotion towards the Lord, but he doesn't have the necessary experience or vocabulary to express it. Right? He wanted to offer prayers to Krishna in a suitable language, but because he was inexperienced, he could not adjust himself immediately. Suddenly, Lord manifested, offer prayers. Kaisa? No, we don't know what to do. So, out of his causeless mercy, what did the Lord do? He touched the conchal, his conchal, on Dhruva Maharaj's head. Dhruva Maharaj was standing with folded hands, with only a desire to offer prayers, but ability to offer prayers. He has desire, he doesn't have a capacity. This is important. When there is desire, willingness is the, when there is willingness, ability is bestowed. But if you have ability, but if you don't have the willingness, then it's difficult, because willingness is our responsibility. Ability is Krishna's responsibility. We get the ability or capacity to do anything only when Krishna bestows that ability upon us. But willingness or desire is our own innate property that we need to cultivate. That's our own voluntary expression. It's how we utilize our minute independence and free will. There Krishna will never interfere. Krishna, although he can hypnotize ordinary psychiatrists or black art people or hypnotists, they can manipulate the minds of other people and then make them do what they want through them. If that can happen with them, what to speak of Krishna? He can hypnotize all of us. He can program all of us to love him and serve him, but he doesn't do that. Because Krishna never interferes with the free will of a living entity. Because he doesn't want forced love. He doesn't want forced surrender. He wants voluntary surrender. Only when we utilize our own independence and minute free will and ability to desire to serve Krishna and to love Krishna, that love and service is acceptable and palatable and relishable to Krishna. Otherwise, he doesn't want to accept it as an obligation or a duty or a force. So, out of fear. So, Dhruva Maharaj had the willingness. So, when one has the willingness, Krishna will give so much of ability to him. Oh, you desire to serve me like this way, take this ability. Whatever facility you need to serve me like this, whatever intellectual capacity, whatever physical strength, whatever resources you may need to serve me like this, I send all of them to you. Whatever assistance you may want, I will give all of them to you, if you have willingness. To the extent one has willingness to render service, to that extent, Krishna will also bestow him the ability. And sometimes you may see that devotees may have willingness, they may not get the facility. Krishna may want to give some other lesson through them. See how persistent he is. How patient he is. Although I am not giving him the facility, still he is my devotee. So there are different ways in which Krishna may deal with those people. But generally willingness comes first, facility comes next. Even if facility comes first, willingness may manifest later. Still, ultimately what is relishable to Krishna is the willingness, the desire. Right? Not the ability. Ability I can give and take. But willingness I cannot give and take. That you have to cultivate. That's your responsibility, not my responsibility. That's what Krishna says. So because Dhruva Maharaj had the willingness to offer prayers, immediately Krishna touched the conchal upon his head and bestowed him the knowledge of all Vedic Shastras and scriptural conclusions. Everything was revealed to him. So on the devotee's part, the devotee is humble. And from Krishna's side, Krishna gives him the transcendental inspiration. Chakravartipat says, knowing that Dhruva could not express himself in Sanskrit, since he did not know any grammar, the Lord touched him on the forehead with his conchal, which is non-different from the Vedas. The conchal is non-different from the Vedas. It is composed of the Vedas. The conchal has the ability to encourage and reassure all the devotees. When Krishna was entering Dwaraka, he blew his conchal. That conchal was appearing like a white swan playing in the midst of lotus stems. Right? So, as soon as the sound of that conchal entered the ear holes of all the Dwarakavasis, they became so enlivened. They were so jubilant. They just ran towards the outskirts of Dwaraka to receive Krishna. Right? That can dispel all the feelings of dejection in his devotees. So that same conchal Krishna touched to Dhruva Maharaj's head. He's eager yet humble. So devotees are always interested in hearing about the Lord's qualities and eager to glorify these qualities. But sometimes they are inconvenienced by humbleness. So now Krishna empowered Dhruva Maharaj to offer prayers. Even offering prayers also need encouragement and empowerment. We cannot offer even prayers to Krishna without being empowered by Krishna. Like that. The Lord being situated in everyone's heart specifically gives the devotee intelligence to describe Him. Just like the birds will fly into the sky as much as their power of flying allows them to do so. Crows can fly up to a certain extent. Peacocks can fly hardly few feet above the ground level. Eagles can fly so high, few kilometers above. Vultures can fly even higher, whatever. Different birds can fly in the sky to the extent their flying capacity allows them. Similarly, different devotees can describe Krishna to that extent. Krishna gives them the power of description. So Dhruva Maharaj was bestowed the ultimate power of description. Power to glorify Krishna. So that glorification also needs empowerment. If a devotee is able to chant the glories of Krishna nicely, either in the form of singing or speaking, he should give that credit to Krishna only. Krishna, you have made me speak. You have made me sing your glories. So the credit goes to you. Use me in your service if that helps you. If you want it. Right? If that helps you to connect also different souls to you, just use me as an instrument. Right? So that's what Krishna, Prabhupada also says, use me, like that. The Lord being situated in everyone's heart specifically gives a devotee intelligence to describe Him. It is therefore understood that when a devotee writes or speaks about the Lord, his words are dictated by the Lord from within. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavratah. Again, Prabhupada brings in determination here. So by transcendental inspiration called Brahmamaya, the song produces exactly, the sound one produces exactly corresponds to the sound vibration of the Vedas, not ordinary sound vibration of the material world. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavat padam bhauja sudha kananilah smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyogyam no vitaratyalam varaihi. When pure devotees speak, the saffron dust particles of Krishna's lotus feet, which they are carrying in their hearts, will emanate from their mouths. And when those dust particles enter the ear holes, smritim punar visvrta tattva vartmanam, we have forgotten our tattva. The jiva tattva is what? Jivera swarupa hai Krishna nityadas. That tattva is forgotten. But when we hear from pure devotees, the tattva, the remembrance of the tattva is revived. Again, we will remember that, oh, we are servants of Krishna. Fine, correct. We need to do some service to Him. Like that. So, this is not, the vibration of a pure devotee is not material sound vibration. It is pure spiritual sound vibration. So, we know that verse, right? 12th canto. Kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa puna tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanata bhagavadrataya karunyataha tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi kasmayena vibhasito yam atulo jnana pradipa pura. So Krishna has given this jnana pradipa, the lamp of knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, to Brahmaji in the beginning of creation. So in the beginning of creation, Krishna gave the knowledge of Bhagavatam to Brahmaji, and in the form of Brahmaji, he gave Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. And in the form of Narada Muni, he spoke that same Bhagavatam to Vyasadev. And in the form of Vyasadev, Krishna spoke to Sukadeva Goswami. In the form of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna spoke to Parikshit Maharaj and Suta Goswami. Like that, whoever is speaking in the parampara, it is Krishna who is speaking. And all these people in the parampara are the transcendental transmitters of knowledge. Transparent transmitters of transcendental knowledge. There is a transparency in them, because of which the knowledge flows through them. For the knowledge to flow through you, not coming to you, processed by you, and then flows. Yeah, some processing is required to make it suitable and palatable for the audience we are addressing, but the essence should just flow. The essence of the knowledge which is coming from Krishna should flow. And such a person through which, such a transparent person through which the transcendental message is flowing, such a person is a bona fide candidate in the parampara. Anyone who is concocting on his own will only deviate the line like that. So, all the scriptural knowledge and Vedic knowledge is bestowed to Dhruva Maharaj because of his desire to offer sincere prayers to the Lord. So one should think that one's ability to serve the Lord is coming from him, and one should engage that ability to serve in Krishna's service only. So savai tadeva pratipaditam giram daivam parignata paratma nirnayaham tam bhakti bhavo bhagranat asatvaram parishruto rusravasam dhruvakshitihi. The result of the touch of Lord's conchal on Dhruva Maharaj is described in this verse. Bhakti bhavo, he has bhakti bhava. So Dhruva attained the words to describe the Lord. Pratipaditam giram. So giram means ability to speak. Savai tadaiva pratipaditam giram. He was equipped with the necessary knowledge and vocabulary and Sanskrit grammar etc. to glorify the Lord, to describe the Lord. Daivam parignata paratma nirnayah. He understood the knowledge of the Lord and the Jiva. And also, he offered his deliberate and conclusive prayers to the Lord, Asatvaram, whose fame is widespread. Parishruta Urushravasam. Lord is already famous, but his fame has to be spread through the words of his great devotees. Like that. So the process of understanding Vedic literature is not by academic learning. The process is revealed through devotional service to one who has unflinching faith in the Lord and spiritual master. What is the verse? Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha grau tasya eva kathita yasya prakashante mahatmanah. If one has unflinching faith in the words of spiritual master and Krishna, all the Vedic scriptural knowledge is revealed to him. So Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service with great determination. When Narada Muni instructed him in a certain way, he had unflinching faith on those instructions and he followed them very sincerely with great determination. He performed austerity. So now he is getting darshan of the Lord. So what is the Vedic conclusion based on? Vedic conclusion is based on proper understanding of difference between Jiva and Paramatma. That's what is mentioned here. That is parignata paratma niranayah. So Prabhupada writes that the only prayers worth offering are those offered to the Supreme Lord, whose reputation is spread far and wide. That is a worthy prayer. So Dhruva attained this perfection not by acting hastily, but by patiently executing the order of spiritual master. If one becomes impatient to get Krishna, he may not get. But if one is patiently executing the orders of spiritual master, then he will get. Therefore, he became so successful that he saw the Lord face to face. To glorify and offer prayers unto the Supreme, one needs the Lord's mercy. Don't think that a person is glorifying Krishna so much or singing so nicely or performing our services to Krishna just by chance. It is Krishna's mercy. Right? One cannot write to glorify the Lord unless one is endowed with His causeless mercy. We can learn more on the subject matter, especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Adilila. What should be the mood of a writer of transcendental literature? We can learn a lot from Kaviraj Goswami. He says, I am 95 years old. I am old. I don't remember anything. And when I am writing, my hands are trembling. So, what I can write? Still I am writing. That is astonishing to me also. And who is writing? It is the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they are writing, all Vaishnavas, they are writing through me. I am being utilized for this glorious purpose, that is my great fortune, and that is the Lord's inconceivable mercy. He just transfers the credit. And actually the original Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Leela is Vrindavan Das Thakur. His Utshishta, whatever remnants that he has left, I am just writing from my side. That is the mood, and you can read more. Right, in Kaviraj Goswami's mood of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, very wonderful description there. So Prabhupada brings in here also, because Dhrumaharaj is about to offer prayers, Prabhupada here sets the mood that all these prayers are being offered only because of the empowerment that Dhrumaharaj was given by the Lord. So the content to present and the knowledge to present is important to make a presentation. But both the content and knowledge are coming from Krishna. That comes by one's dedication to the instructions of spiritual master. One has to be very eager to accept the instructions, and one has to be eager to execute the instructions also. One verse comes in the 4th canto, maybe in 24th chapter. You can see 4.24, the Rudra Gita, 14th or 15th verse, tadhyayanto japantasya pujayanto, like that comes. 14, you see? 14 or 15? This one only. Read. You read. I can't turn.
Translation?
Verse.
यदुक्तं पाति यदुक्तं बरदृष्टेन गिरीशेन प्रसीदत तद्ध्यायन्तो जपन्तश्च पूज्यन्तश्च समायता.
When Lord Rudra gave instructions to Prachetas, Prachetas accepted those instructions. Tadhyayantaha japantaha. They were meditating on those instructions. They were chanting those instructions. Pujayantaha. They are worshipping those instructions. And they were executing those instructions. So the perfection of meditation is meditation on the instructions of spiritual master. The perfection of working is working on the instructions of spiritual master. The perfection of worship is worshipping the instructions of spiritual master. Right? So the perfection of chanting is chanting the instructions of spiritual master. Chanting, worshipping, remembering also means executing them. Not just I will chant the instructions, I may not execute. Instruction is included in that. So if one can mold one's life in executing the instructions of spiritual master, by giving them the topmost priority in one's life, then this kind of empowerment is guaranteed to him. Right? Lord will personally empower. So Dhrumaharaj is so sincere in executing the instructions of spiritual master Narada Muni. So he got this blessing from the Lord directly. So we will recite only one verse from his prayers today. Rest we will do tomorrow. Dhruva Uvacha.
योऽन्तः प्रविश्य ममवाच इमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्नाम् अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणान्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् योऽन्तः प्रविश्य ममवाच इमां प्रसुप्ताम् सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्नाम् अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणान्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्
यो अन्तः प्रविश्य मै डियर लॉर्ड यू हैव एंटर्ड विथ इन माय सिस्टम माय बॉडी अन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचाम इमां प्रसुप्तम् All my senses were sleeping so far, right? Especially my sense of speech was sleeping. So far he is unable to speak out anything, although the Lord was present in front of him. Mama vacham imam prasuptam, it is sleeping. Sanjeevayati, we have, just like when Sanjeevani, that herb, was brought in front of Lakshman, Lakshman immediately stood up. Right? Sanjeevayati means to enliven, to induce life. To make it animate. Sanjeevayati akhira shakti dharaha swadhamna. My dear Lord, you are the treasure house of all shaktis. You have all powers. So with your internal powers, with your great potency, you are so powerful, you have enlivened my senses, especially my sense of speech. Not only power of speech, anyamsya, other senses also enlivened. Hasta, my hands, charana, my legs, shravana, my ears, tvagadi, my touch, we have enlivened all my senses, including my speech. Pranan, you have induced prana, life into that. Namo bhagavate purushaya tumhyam. I offer my obeisances unto you. Right? So this is a popular prayer that one can remember before glorifying Krishna. Because unless one is empowered by the Supreme Lord, unless one's speech is empowered by the Supreme Lord, he may not be able to speak properly in glorification of the Lord. So, mama vacham imam prasuptam. What is this prasuptam? With one's power of speech, one may speak so many things in this world, in this material world. But actually, till he speaks Krishna Katha, his speech is not speech. His speech is as if he is sleeping only. There is sleeping speech. For example, somebody is sleeping in a dream. While sleeping, he is dreaming. While dreaming, he started speaking something. Will anyone take it seriously? At the next, they will take it seriously because, oh, this fellow might be having some bad dream, let's give him some attention. Or he may be having some disease, let's cure him. To that extent, he may get attention. But what actually he speaks while he is sleeping, will anyone take it seriously? While sleeping, he will say, get that airplane here. Will you get that airplane? Right? So, no one will take it seriously. Similarly, just like when somebody is sleeping, this analogy comes elsewhere in Bhagavatam also. When someone is sleeping, within his sleep, he may be thinking he is a king, or he is a tiger, or he is flying in the sky, or he may be doing so many other things. But as soon as he gets up, he will come to his original reality. Or Prabhupada gives another example in the first canto, cinema. So this material world is like a cinema, he says. Cinema means all doors are closed, all lights are off, you are given one seat to sit, and on the screen something is projected for 2 hours or 2.5 hours or 3 hours or whatever. So hero is undergoing so many experiences. Hero may be singing some duet with the heroine. Hero may be undergoing a great ecstasy. hero may be undergoing a lot of pain in his life, the villain is causing so much trouble, hero is about to fall off from the cliff, or hero must be wearing some beautiful dress, nice spats and then some hat or whatever, he's looking very stylish. So the person who is watching the movie, he will constantly identify himself with the hero. When he is dancing with the heroine, this fellow who is seen will think that I am dancing with the heroine. So he is experiencing some pain because of the villain, he may start even crying also. Sometimes people who watch some emotional movies, they cry also, right? So when someone is experiencing some turmoil, he will also experience turmoil. When he is in anxiety to find where is what, the audience also is experiencing anxiety. Because the whole ambience is like that, everything is off. Everything is pin drop silent. What you are hearing is only the movie voice. What you are seeing is only the person. So it's very easy for this audience to identify with the main personality on the screen. It's like a dream only. But once the movie ends, and the end, or Jai Hind, or Shubham, or some last title slide, last slide comes, right? And the lights are on, suddenly he came to reality. So he comes out of the movie theater and he will assume his identity. So I am son of so-and-so parents, I am student of so-and-so college, or I am employee in so-and-so company, I have these many financial problems, or I have these many diseases, or whatever. He comes to his original reality as a human being in this world, right? So exactly the same experience you can just extrapolate to spiritual world. The original identity of a soul is a servant of Krishna. In his original constitutional position, he will serve Krishna and he will love Krishna in certain capacity, in certain level. But because of being entrapped in this material body with certain material senses, he starts embracing certain identity and starts thinking that, oh, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my wife, these are my children, these are my friends, this is my college, this is my house, this is my car, this is my money, this is my body, right? These are all my people, they are my followers, I and mine. He's just caught up in this aham mamiti conceptions. The experience of a dream or a movie will last for a couple of hours. And this experience in this lifetime as a human being will last for a few decades. That's all. But the original identity is different. As servant of Krishna. So, coming to this verse, Yontaha pravishya mamavacha mimam prasuptam. Whatever you are speaking while dreaming is not taken seriously. So in the conditioned state, although the living entity is awake, still he is sleeping in comparison to his original spiritual identity. So spiritual activities are those activities that are performed in a wake-up state. Material activities are activities that are performed in sleep state. While sleeping, whatever one speaks is nonsense only. It doesn't make any sense. Similarly, in the material world, from an absolute perspective, whatever one does, through his speech or hands or legs or whatever, it's as if a person who is sleeping is just vibrating his tongue. Like that, prasuptam. Someone whose spiritual senses are not awakened, someone who is not using his senses in spiritual activities is as good as sleeping. Although all his senses are completely functional, he is as good as sleeping. Like that. That's what he says. Where did he get this knowledge? Through marriage. Because of the touch of conscience. Where did he get this vocabulary? Because of the touch of conscience. So Dhrumaras was in such an awkward situation just 2 minutes back that he is unable to speak a single word, although he wanted to pray. But he is given all knowledge and all vocabulary instantly, immediately, that he is able to offer such eloquent prayers with a deep meaning. You can discuss the meaning of these prayers for a long time. Right? Pranam namo bhagavate purushaya tubhim. So spiritual enlightenment, unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. and all his activities are taken as a dead man's or ghostly activities. Prabhupada is too graphic here. Ghostly activities. If you inform this to someone who is just functioning in the regular secular world, he may get a shock of his life. Ghostly activities? Right? So considering from a spiritual perspective, eternal perspective, it's as good as ghostly experience only. So enlightenment gives understanding of the essence of Vedic instruction. Swadhamna means spiritual enlightenment is possible by mercy of spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of Hare Krishna is first addressed to spiritual energy, Hare, then comes Krishna. So this verse is about the spiritual energy of the Lord. Who enlivens our senses? It is the spiritual energy, Swadhamna. It is the spiritual energy of Krishna that enlivens us. Right? When does it act? The spiritual energy acts when the living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. So, Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha, one has to take shelter of Daivi Prakriti. When one places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevam Mukha. At that time, spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. And what is about material energy? Any amount of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of material energy. Sometimes the Lord may or may not be described in such eloquent poetry, poetic verses. But material energy may be described with more eloquence, right? More similes and more alliterations. May be used to glorify some mundane object. So that will not have any spiritual impact on the soul. On the spiritual platform, that kind of descriptions will never nourish. Right? However exciting they may be to the ears. So the process of bhakti is that in beginning senses are engaged in the direction of, under the direction of spiritual master and shastra, maybe mechanically. And after realization, when the senses are purified, the engagement continues in spiritual understanding. So Dhruva Maharaj's senses had all suddenly become spiritualized. Here, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj received that empowerment, he acknowledged that empowerment. Dhruva Maharaj told the Lord, "My dear Lord, it is you who have empowered me. On my own, I am unable to offer prayers, but you have made me speak like this." So when we receive some empowerment from some superior, we should be grateful for that empowerment. We should be willing to acknowledge that empowerment. Without gratitude and giving credit to someone who has empowered us, all our accomplishments will be lifeless. So it is because of so-and-so personality's mercy I am able to do this service. Like that. We should be in the mood of giving credit to our superiors for whatever we are able to do. One should not take credit even for those things that he has done also. As a matter of fact, not to create confusion, he can say, "I have done this." Right? Yatra, who booked the tickets? "I have not done." That will create a lot of confusion. Right? So you can say, "You have done something," you can say, but not in the mood of taking credit. If you are not done, someone else will look. Money will be wasted and time will be wasted. So as long as we do not engage in our service with a mood of acknowledging our superiors, then like sooner or later one will feel dry. Right? One cannot just be the recipient of all credit. He cannot handle it. He cannot handle so many vibes that are coming towards him. People will just elevate you. Unless you transfer that credits to the parampara, to those who have empowered you, so one may not have so much strength to handle them like that. So Guru Maharaj is immediately wonderfully acknowledging. So what belongs to us is a willingness to render service, a willingness to offer prayer. The ability to render service, the ability to offer prayer, the ability to accomplish anything is bestowed upon us by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and they deserve all acknowledgements and thanks and gratitude and everything. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।